This is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. On the heels of the UN climate report released last weekend, Hurricane Michael rekindled the conversation about hurricanes and climate change, transforming in 2 days from a tropical storm to the strongest hurricane to hit Florida since 1851. Now, there's no question that such rapid intensification is fed by warm ocean temperatures, and that the ocean is warmer now and will continue to get warmer as a result of our greenhouse gas emissions. But there is some debate about when and how to discuss those connections. Is it inappropriate to explore the root causes of an extreme weather event in the midst of an emergency? A new poll of those hit hardest by Hurricane Florence suggests the answer is no. 44% of North Carolina residents surveyed after Florence hit said they think the time to talk about climate change is as an extreme weather event is unfolding. It's not a majority, but the number who said we should wait until a week or more after was in the single digits. Ed Maybach is a university professor at George Mason University's Center for Climate Change Communication and one of the lead researchers on that poll. Ed, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Heather.
Way to strike while the iron is hot. Hurricane Florence hits, and by the end of September, you're already out there running a poll of North Carolina residents. Was this by phone? Do you have any idea of the circumstances of the people you were talking to in this poll?
It was not by phone. We conduct the survey on the web, so we send people an email, essentially. And no, to answer your question, we really don't know to what degree people were still dealing with flooding or water in their homes at the time. But we were delighted that so many people were interested in responding to our surveys so shortly after they had experienced this trauma.
And how many residents did you actually survey?
I believe this particular poll was 734.
So most of those who responded, interestingly, for me as a member of the media, thought the media had done a good job covering Florence. That's not something we always hear. But the number who thought that climate change played a role in how damaging the storm was much lower. The number who thought that climate change was affecting them personally was much lower. And we often think of these extreme weather events as creating a boost in people connecting the dots between climate change and extreme weather and how personal the impacts might be. So what do you read into that result?
The thing about extreme weather events is that they hurt people, but they don't necessarily teach people. So you get a Florence in your community and it's terribly punishing, but you don't necessarily have any way of connecting the dots to that experience and what, if anything, you know about global climate change. So it really is a human function to do that teaching, because the storms itself or the extreme weather events themselves don't do it for you. We know that Americans, the majority of Americans do understand our climate is changing. Most of them see climate change as distant from them, however. They see it as happening at someplace else, maybe not even in our country, at some point in the future, certainly not now, and mostly harming plants, penguins, and polar bears, not people. So extreme weather events do actually create an opportunity to teach Americans, people in North Carolina in this instance, about the connection between something that just happened to them or something that is currently happening to them or to other members of their community, and to provide the context as to, why is this happening, and is this more likely to be happening as a result of this abstract thing we call global climate change.
Well, anytime you're trying to teach or inform people, it's good to understand where they're starting from. And North Carolina, I think for those of us not living in North Carolina, has a bit of a reputation as maybe not being that welcoming to climate science. You know, we heard stories in the past few years about attempts to pass laws that would restrict how climate change could be talked about or considered in, state regulatory and legislative processes. Give us a more fact-based picture. What did these residents of North Carolina actually tell you they thought and knew about climate change?
Well, a majority of them actually are worried about climate change. A majority believe that, this is the storm was affected by climate change, was made worse by climate change. In other words, more rain fell as a result. But North Carolina is pretty much like any other state in the nation, in the sense that we've got people who hold diverse opinions. And, much of that diversity is, regrettably, it's determined based on people's partisan status. So Democrats tend to see it in one way, and Republicans tend to see it in another way. The fact that North Carolina skews a little bit to the red side of the aisle does tend to suggest that most North Carolinians are less likely than the average American to accept the reality of human-caused climate change. But even in North Carolina, that is not a majority view. Okay, so it's really important to understand that most North Carolinians, in fact, do understand that human-caused climate change is happening.
I'm talking with Ed Maybach of George Mason University. He's a climate change communication researcher. Ed, let's talk about that issue of climate change communication, how best to talk about the connections and this opportunity to teach or learn through extreme weather about climate change. One of the questions has been, when is the best time to do that? And just a few weeks ago, as Hurricane Florence was about to hit, we spoke with someone from Capital Weather Gang, from the Washington Post's weather blog, and they said, yeah, well, you know, we've touched on the climate change connection, but that will really be part of our aftermath and redux after the emergency is over. And I think that's been a kind of common view. But in fact, when you asked people when is the best time to highlight these connections, they said during the event. I mean, they didn't think that was an inappropriate time to talk about this at all.
That's right. And we have to also differentiate the fact that an event like this is truly an emergency and a tragedy for the people who are in the middle of it. For the rest of it, for the rest of us, and that would be, you know, for the vast majority of Americans, we're incredibly interested in what is happening to our brothers and sisters in North Carolina at that moment. Or, you know, what now that it's South Carolina, now that Mike is rolling its way up through South Carolina at the moment, we're interested. And moreover, your colleagues in the media, you're interested as well. So when the right time to teach people about the context of why a particularly extreme event occurred is absolutely when that event is occurring. It might not be the best time to speak to people in the middle of the event, but the majority of us who are interested, we aren't in the middle of the event. So I would actually say that the 6 out of 10 North Carolinians who said that, yeah, the media should be covering this connection, either during the event or shortly thereafter, I agree with them completely. And the fact that they, so shortly after Florence, that 6 out of 10 of them said that, yeah, that's actually relevant information to us in real time or shortly thereafter. To me, that was the surprising part of our study. We thought that people who had so recently suffered a shock as they did would be unlikely to feel that way. So the fact that they were pretty clear in saying, the majority of them were clear in saying, yeah, we think this is relevant information, bring it on. That's an important finding.
I mean, it was interesting looking. You gave people obviously a range from the best time to talk about it is as things are unfolding to a couple days, a week, a month, you know, even later after the event or not at all. And there weren't many people who said, you know, wait a week, wait a month, wait a little bit longer. They either thought, for the most part, you should be talking about it as it's going on, maybe, you know, in the couple of days afterward as well, while people still have their attention on that story. And otherwise, the only, you know, really solid group of people were those who were just saying we should never discuss these connections at all. It was kind of either one extreme or the other in terms of when people thought was the right time to talk about climate change and extreme weather.
That's right. And about 2 out of 10 of our respondents, they said, well, I just don't know. I don't have an opinion on this issue. So the numbers you just laid out, Heather, I think are really important because it essentially means about 6 out of 10 North Carolinians said, yep, bring it on in real time or shortly thereafter. Fewer than 2 out of 10 said, no, this is just not appropriate. And about 2 out of 10 said, I don't know. So it means the majority of people really feel like this is information we want to hear and you know, make it timely to make it relevant. I think that's the takeaway here. Most people want information about climate change. We actually have surveyed Americans in overall a number of times on the issue of essentially asking do you want to know more about it? Do you want to know more about this issue? And people say, yes, we do. We want to know. We don't know a lot. We want to know more. And we particularly want a local context. Don't tell us so much about global climate change, because we actually do hear about that in the media on occasion, but we don't hear much locally. And my main interests and concerns are about what's happening in my community.
Do you think that that is a message that meteorologists are ready to hear? I mean, the meteorology community has, as a whole, I think has shifted, but has, as a community, been slow to accept the consensus, the scientific consensus on human-caused climate change. And there are still many meteorologists who would say, you know, this is either not my job or this is not the right time. Do you think that this survey could help change that attitude?
Yeah, actually, the attitudes and the reporting practices of TV weathercasters are changing dramatically. So the way you described their views was a very good description of how they as a community felt about 10 years ago. But today they really have their views about climate change have evolved. Their views about their role in educating members of their public have evolved. And in fact, reporting on reporting about climate change by TV weathercasters has increased 16-fold. That's 1,600% over the past 6 years nationwide. So they really are an important community of professionals who are trusted by their viewers, who have extraordinary access to their viewers, and who now have both interests, who have the interest in teaching their viewers about how climate change is changing conditions in their community. And increasingly, tools are being developed for them to help them do that job.
And now we know that they also have a receptive audience.
Absolutely.
Ed Maybach is a university professor at George Mason University's Center for Climate Change Communication, one of the lead researchers on a poll of North Carolina residents showing that 6 out of 10 North Carolina residents think that the time to talk about the links between climate change and extreme weather is as the events are unfolding. Ed, thanks for talking with us.
Thank you, Heather.